We're going to have Brother Charles Nichols is going to preach for us, one of our missionaries to Brazil. Next week, Evangelist Jim Gray is going to be preaching for us on Wednesday. Week after that, Lord willing, Brother Glenn Miller, Evangelist Glenn Miller, will be preaching for us on that day. And we'll have some others. I mean, you know, I was thinking, we've got a lot of talented folks here at Madison Baptist Church. You see all the different people that play the different instruments that we have up here? And then on top of that, we've got a lot of different people that sing. Well, we've got a lot of preachers in our church, too. And so you need to know what they can do. Now, this morning, Bobby Nichols and his family was here. And little Bobby said, "We're going to hear Uncle Charlie preach this morning." And so Big Bobby looked down at him and said, "Wouldn't you rather hear Brother Allison?" He said, "No." I used to like that kid, too. Amen. Brother Charles, come preach to us.
Kids, so easily amused. I'm just kidding. Well, amen. Good evening. It is a blessing to be here this evening, and I thank Pastor for the opportunity of preaching. I like to preach, and the Lord's so good to us. I'd like to, first of all, thank the church for being a blessing. Everyone's a blessing to us. We sure do thank you. Isabel and I had to come back with our two girls to work on some paperwork. And it's going well. I just received some papers from immigration that Brother Terrell handed me before the service. And I haven't opened them yet. I decided, Pastor taught us in class not to open anything before you're going to preach. So we'll just leave that for afterwards and see how things are going. But Lord willing, everything's going well, and we sure do thank you for your prayers. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
My goodness, when I look around and see how the Lord has blessed us and how the Lord continues to bless us, I'm grateful and amazed by what He's doing. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with me, please, tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, we find the Apostle Paul dealing with the Christian walk. And he starts out, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." And first of all, in verse 2, we find here, "And walk in love." And verse 8, the latter part of the verse, he says, "Walk as children of light." Verse 15, he says, "See that then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil." Redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I'm not going to spend time here tonight. But I was, I guess yesterday, the Isabel and Iada asked me to look up a book by the Pearls. And I'm sure some of you are familiar with the book, "To Train Up a Child," by the Pearls. But so I was looking at that on Amazon, and I was surprised at some of the reviews that I read. And one of the reviews, I just printed off real quick. Anyway, the guy says this. He says, "Anything described in this book should be grounds for CPS and other government agencies to take your children away." Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
My goodness. And if you've read the book, I've read the book. It's a good book on how to raise your children. And the Bible is very clear at how your children should be raised. You should spank them biblically. That's correct. Not child abuse if you do it right. And but it's amazing to me and scary to think that people like this are walking around and actually driving cars and whatnot and perhaps even have children of their own. Now, we laugh at things like this, but this review was written yesterday. And just surprising. But the days are definitely evil. Well, then we get down into verse 18. It says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." So here he's dealing with being filled with the Spirit. He goes on in verse 20, says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." And then verses 22 and verse 24 is where we're going to get the text here tonight. But it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now notice verse 24. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. And I'd like to deal just a little bit briefly tonight on the subject of submission. Are you a submissive Christian? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity of being here. And God, I ask that you please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need you. And I ask that you'd speak through me. Lord, it's been a blessing to me, and I ask that you'd please use it to be a blessing to others. Lord, please work, and if there's someone here that's not saved tonight, Lord, please help that person to come and to be saved tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we find, I was reading verse 24, and it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. And wives, I'm not going to specifically preach a message on wives submitting to their husbands. However, all of us should be submissive. Now, even as husbands, as men, we should be submissive. It says here, as Christ, as the church is subject unto Christ. And so he uses, dealing with the husband-wife relationship, he uses that of the church to Christ. And he says, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. Now, church, as a church, can we say we're submissive to Christ in everything? As individuals, can I truly say I am submissive to Christ in everything? Noah Webster, in his 1828 dictionary, defines submission as this. First of all, the act of submitting, the act of yielding to power or authority, surrender of the person and power to the control of government or of another. Fourth, under his definitions, is this: obedience, compliance with the commands or laws of a superior. Submission of children to their parents is an indispensable duty. I thought that was quite amazing. But that's back in 1828. You know, the definition there that children should submit to their parents. And then number five, he says, resignation, a yielding of one's will to the will or appointment of a superior without murmuring. Entire and cheerful submission to the will of God is a Christian's duty of prime excellence. And friends, if we want to be used of God tonight, we must be submissive to the Lord's will. Are you a submissive Christian? Well, the Bible has several verses that deal with submission. And first of all, let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And here the Apostle Paul is expressing his heart's desire. Romans chapter 10. And first of all, friend, in this matter of submission, you must submit to Christ's plan for salvation. To Christ's plan for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not noticed, submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And friend, if there's someone here tonight that's not saved, the Bible says this: for all of sin that comes short of the glory of God. All of us have a sin problem, which we need to take care of. Because the wages of sin, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so the Apostle Paul here stating is that his desire was that Israel would be saved. And they were a zealous people, but they did it. They were ignorant of God's righteousness and were trying to establish their own righteousness. And friend, if you're here tonight trying to establish your own righteousness, trying to get to heaven by your good works, by your good deeds, by doing good, by helping people, you're missing the boat. The Bible says this: for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verses 17 and 18 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And friend, if you're here tonight without Christ, the only way you can escape this condemnation is if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So first of all, have you submitted in the area of salvation? Now, getting back to the several verses that deal with submission, we've already read one verse. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband." Also, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, just mention it, but it deals with the submission of the church member to the pastor. And it says this, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you." You know, that's something we might consider sometime. How would pastor give an account for you? Would he do it joyfully? Or would he do it with grief? The Bible tells us here, if he does it with grief, it's not profitable for you. And so submit yourself. Submit yourselves to them that have the rule over you. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And then 1 Peter chapter 5, and there are several other verses that deal directly with the word submit. But James chapter 5, verse 5, and this was one I was reminded of quite often when I was younger, says this, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Now, Bob was in the service this morning, and he's 14 months older than I am. And as I said this morning, he is my brother. I don't admit that readily, but sometimes you just have to be open and honest, and he is my brother. He's older than me by 14 months, but that's enough for him to be older than I am. And you see, whenever mom and dad went around, they thought and they believed the Bible. And so I had to submit myself to my older brother. Why? Because the Bible says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder." Now, was I always submissive? No, I sure wasn't. But I'll tell you what, I sure did get a good paddling when mom and dad got home. Because it's Bible. We are to submit. And so there are several verses that deal directly with the word submit. Others that deal with submission. Indirectly, you understand that the person is submissive by the way he acts. So in dealing with this subject briefly tonight, with the remaining minutes that we have, I'd like to deal, first of all, look at some reasons for submission. Second of all, I'd like to look at the resemblance of a person who is submissive. Thirdly, I'd like to retrace a few examples of a submissive Christian. And then fourthly, I'd like to conclude with the results of a submissive Christian. First of all, the reasons. Why should we be submissive? As Christians, why should we be submissive? Well, first of all, God tells us to submit. The Bible says it. That should be enough for us. However, there are several other reasons why we should submit. And tonight, first of all, the first reason is we've been bought. Friends, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, if you would please turn with me, Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. The Bible says this, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Friends, Christ hath redeemed us. You see, in and of myself, I was lost and on my way to hell without hope. But at the age of 5, I thank the Lord, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being in the brightness of His glory, let's turn there briefly. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, speaking of Jesus, the Bible says this, "Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." Friends, that's a precious verse right there in Hebrews. I love Hebrews. Because it shows us how that what God has provided, the way of salvation, is so much superior to the Old Testament covenant. And when He had by Himself purged our sins, you know what He did? He sat down. Why? Because it was finished. It was complete. He had purchased us. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter, turn with me quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, familiar verses. Verses 18 through 21, the Bible says this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last days for you. who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. You see, we've been redeemed. We've been purchased, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, also familiar verses. Here the Apostle Paul is dealing with sins committed in the body. However, once again, he stresses that we are not our own. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, obviously in verse 18, he states, flee fornication. And he gets down to verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and which ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Friends, a submissive Christian glorifies God. We are to glorify God in our body, in our spirit. Why? Because we're not our own. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. So first of all, one of the reasons we should be submissive is because we've been bought. Secondly, is because we've been bound. You see, as Christians, once we're saved, the Bible states that the Holy Ghost of God seals us unto the day of redemption. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 22, the Bible says this. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Turn over with me to also to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says this. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Once we are saved, the Holy Spirit has sealed us unto the day of redemption. And friends, that's another reason why we should be holy and completely submitted to the Father. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and verse 30 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You see, it's possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. However, if we're submissive, if we're yielded to him, we'll obey. We will obey. And so we are sealed. First of all, we've been bought. Second of all, we have been bound by the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, because we've been blessed. Friends, as I mentioned, the Lord's been good to us. You know, as a church, as individuals, I could stand here all night and share how God has blessed our family and how God has blessed our church. Hardly a Sunday goes by in which here at Madison Baptist Church, we don't see souls saved. Sunday before last, we had two in the morning service. I believe tonight we have one that's going to be baptized. That's great. That's great. That's how it should be. The Lord has blessed us. And friends, if it were only for that reason, God has various promises throughout the Bible that state, if you serve him, if you honor him, he will bless you. But if you turn your back on him, he'll curse you. And so as we submit to him, God will bless us. And then under this, the next point would be we have a battle to fight. And Ephesians chapter 6, if you would turn with me, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Once we're saved, we are not put at ease. But the Bible says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, as Christians, we are in a fight. And a good soldier obeys orders. A good soldier submits. And I haven't had the privilege of serving the military, but I'm told that once you sign up, once you join, you lose all your rights. You're told when you can use the restroom, when you can, when you're to get up, when you go to bed, and why? Because you are to submit yourselves unto your superiors. Well, as soldiers of Jesus Christ, we also are to be submitted. And unfortunately, not always do we do that. Have you ever woken up and said, Lord, today, I'm submitting to your will. Whatever you have for today, I'm submitted to you. And it seems always, you know, many times you jump in your car and all of a sudden you see you left with only 5 minutes, you know, before, and you got a flat tire. You know what? It's easy to blow up. Say, Lord, I'm late. I've got to be there. You think it caught the Lord by surprise? No. You see, when we submit ourselves to God, God is glorified. And we'll see that a little bit later. But here we have a battle to fight. And as long as we're submitted to God, we're a good soldier. We're a good soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, turn with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. The Bible says this, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Here, Paul is exhorting Timothy. He's telling him, listen, you need to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Friend, as a good soldier will be submitted to what God has for him. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Unfortunately, many times we, as human beings, we like to please ourselves. And friends, when we please ourselves, when we live in the flesh, God is not honored. So a couple of reasons there why we should be submitted to God. First of all, we've been bound. Actually, we've been bought. We've been bound. We've been blessed. Friends, we have a battle to fight. Second of all, I'd like to look at just a resemblance of a submissive Christian. A couple of characteristics. Now, I'd like to give you these, and then we'll look at some examples and hopefully make it all make sense, tie it in together. There are several, but just a few for us to recognize. First of all, a submissive Christian will be obedient. Obedient. I got to think about this. A submissive Christian will be obedient. So, a person who is submitted will obey. Is it possible for a person to be submitted and not to obey? Well, I do know this. It is possible for a person to obey without submitting. You know, you've all heard the story of how a man told his young son, Hey, son, I want you to sit down. He's standing up. Son, I want you to sit down. Standing up. Son, I want you to sit down. Finally, he sits down. He says, I'm sitting down, but on the inside, I'm standing up. Well, he obeyed, but he wasn't submitted. He wasn't submitted. And so, obedience. Obedience is essential. Think of Acts chapter 8. Philip, how he went, he was out witnessing. God told him to go down the desert. We all know the story of how the eunuch, high-ranking eunuch under Candace the queen, was out there in the desert. And the Spirit told him to go down into the desert. And later, through the story, we find that he led that man to the Lord. Why? Because he was obedient. So a submissive Christian is an obedient Christian. Not only is he obedient, he's also faithful. Why will he be faithful? Because he has totally surrendered his will, his desires, his dreams to the Father. It's amazing. Never fails to surprise me how we justify our unfaithfulness to God. Many times we justify it because of other people. Isn't that a shame? You know, sometimes we have wives that blame their unsubmissiveness upon their husband. Well, I don't submit to him because he's not godly enough. Well, perhaps the husband says, well, she won't obey me, so I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to obey Christ. Because my wife doesn't obey me. So, isn't that amazing? You know, Christ was always submissive to the Father in everything. Always, always, always. I'm thankful that he didn't look back and say, you know, Charlie Nichols isn't always submissive to me. See, I'm not going to be submissive to the Father. I just thank the Lord that he is faithful and he's submissive no matter what. And so he will be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, we find that it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And turn over with me briefly, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, we find here a testimony of Timothy. And he says this, For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The testimony of Timothy here is that he is faithful in the Lord. And we won't take the time to turn, but in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, we find of Epaphras, it was stated that he was a faithful minister of Christ. Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, of Onesimus, it was stated that he was a faithful and beloved brother. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, of Tychicus, it was said that he was a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. You see, friends, these were all men that were submitted, doing God's will. They were faithful. So first of all, a characteristic of a submissive Christian, or a resemblance there to follow the alliteration there, is that he will be obedient. Now, these points underneath aren't alliterated. There we go. Obedient, he will be faithful. Not only that, he will also be courageous. He will be courageous. Even when it looks like you're going under, you'll be courageous. Why? Because you're submitted to the Father. Lord, if this is what you have for me, this is where we're going. We'll go through. Why? Because it's not my will, it's your will. And so he will be courageous, and also he will be confident. Why? Well, I've got some promises in my Bible that state that God's always with me, that God will, as long as I'm faithful, as long as I'm serving, as long as I'm submitted to him, he will take care of me. You know what? I'm dumb enough to believe those promises because they're true. The Bible says it. It's true. And so we find here a couple of characteristics or resemblance of a submissive Christian. He'll be obedient. He'll be faithful. He'll be courageous. He'll be confident. Now, thirdly, let's retrace a couple of examples of Christians who were submissive. I got to thinking about this and started thinking about Joshua. Everybody remember Joshua? And after Moses died, he was the leader of Israel. Do you think perhaps that he was chosen just because he was the only one closest there to Moses when Moses was passing away? So he looked over and said, hey, Joshua, you're the man. You're going to have to take it. No, we know that from the Bible that God chose Joshua. But friends, and we're going to look briefly at his life, but we will see submissiveness throughout his life. It's interesting to me that the first time that Joshua is mentioned, you know what we find Joshua doing? He is being told to do something. Now, as human beings, many times we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, and sometimes we're just downright rebellious. We don't like being told what to do. But Joshua, and let's turn, if you would, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17, the first time Joshua's name is mentioned is in verse 9. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out, men, and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. The first thing that we find Joshua being told is, choose men and go. Go, do something. Go. Now, how many of you think Joshua obeyed? Well, the next verse tells us that he obeyed that. Verse 10 says, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And we know how that God wrought a great victory that day. Friends, Joshua was submitted. You see, Moses, hey, you need to go. You need, hey, this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm here for. And so he was submitted. Not only here, we find also in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24 and verse 13. You know, many times we get caught up with titles. Well, I like to be called this and I like to be called that. Well, notice what Joshua was called in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 13. The Bible says this, and Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God and his minister, Joshua. You know what the minister means? Servant, servant. Joshua, servant of Moses. Exodus chapter 33, Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, we find here Joshua once again mentioned, and he's mentioned many other times. These are just a few of the times we'll be looking at him tonight. But Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. I'm thinking about this. Here he is. He's a young man. You know, friends, as young men, many times we are hard-headed. And we're wrong when we are that way. We should be submitted. Here's a young man. He's a servant. He's a servant. And he's submitted. Hey, Moses told me to do it. That's what I'm going to do. Why? Because I'm submitted to Moses. Obviously, Moses was submitted to God. So by submitting to Moses, he was ultimately submitted to God in everything. Numbers chapter 11, verse 28. Once again, we find it called here, Joshua being called a servant. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 28, the Bible says this. Okay, I was in Leviticus there. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 28. The Bible says, and Joshua the son of Nun, notice the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. A servant, the servant of Moses. And so we find that Joshua had a history of being a servant. Now, friend, isn't that a good testimony? That's a great testimony. He was, well, he got to be the leader. But you know what? First, he was a servant. He learned through being submissive. He learned by submitting to his authority, which was Moses. So we find the example of Joshua. Not only here, also turn with me to Daniel chapter 3, if you would, please. Daniel chapter 3. And we could pick a number of examples of the Old Testament and New Testament also. Thinking we won't deal with him tonight, but Joseph. You know, Joseph, he was submitted throughout his life. He was submitted. And you know what happened? God exalted him. Every single time, God exalted him. Men would throw him into prison. Man would do this to him, do that. Hey, God would bring him back up. Why? Because he was submitted to God's will. Daniel. And I will find it here in just a second. Ezekiel. Daniel. Here we go. Chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We find the decree going out that the king, he made an idol. He made a great big idol and he said, hey, everyone's going to get together and everybody's going to bow down to this idol. And there were three young men, three Hebrew boys, that didn't bow. In verse 9, 10, and 11, we find that some people went to the king and said, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you issued this decree that at the sound of all these instruments, we're supposed to fall down and worship the image. And whoever did not, well, they're going to be burnt in a fiery furnace. And verse 12, they state that there are certain Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Verse 13 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15, he says, I'm going to give you another chance. At the sound of the music, if you bow down, everything will be all right. Well, we get down to verse 17, or actually 16, and I love their answer. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Why? Because they weren't submitted to the king. Friends, the Bible was clear, okay? They had strict commandments. As Hebrew children, they were not to bow to any idol. And so they were not to submit themselves, but yet they were supposed to be submitted to God. And so their answer wasn't a disrespectful answer. It was respectful. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have to think about this. The only thing that we can do here is listen, our God is able to deliver us. But should he choose not, we're still going to be submitted to him. We're still going to obey him. Why? Because that's what he has commanded us. Be submissive. And so we find here the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Acts chapter 16, and this is the last example that we'll look tonight, and then we'll wrap each example up, Lord willing, and we'll conclude. Acts chapter 16, verses Actually, in 16, we find here the Apostle Paul going out. He goes down to Lystra, and he finds a certain disciple there named Timotheus. He goes out and starts traveling with him. He, verse 6 says, "Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after that they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." Do you see the submission there? The Spirit said, "You're not supposed to." Okay, we'll go down this way. No, the Spirit, that way. Well, they finally end up in Philippi. And on the Sabbath, verse 13, it says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." And Lydia was saved. Well, shortly thereafter, they spent a couple days here. Verse 16, it tells us that a damsel possessed with a spirit started declaring that they were servants of the Most High God. And she did this many days. But Paul, verse 18, was grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. Now, friends, Paul and Silas are obeying. They're in the center of God's will. They're being obedient. The Lord's blessing their ministry. And all of a sudden, these guys bring them out into the marketplace under the religion, under the rulers. And this is what they say to the rulers. "Brought them to the magistrates," verse 20, "saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prisons and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now here, serving the Lord. The Lord, I wonder how many of us, you know, friends, sometimes all it takes to keep us from doing the Lord's will is sometimes just a little sore throat. Sometimes just a hangnail. "Well, I couldn't make the church, preacher, because I was walking out of the house and I stubbed my toe." So we all had to stay home. Why? Because Daddy stubbed his toe. Now, friends, here Paul and Silas have been beaten. They didn't deserve it. They were serving God. Isn't it a shame when we only serve God when we feel good? When we only serve God if people treat us the way we deserve to be. You know what we deserve as human beings, all of us? We deserve to die and burn in hell. That's what we deserve as human beings because we're sinners. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. But by God's grace, we have hope of eternal life. And friends, if we're submitted to God, God will be glorified through what's accomplished. And so we find here they're thrown into prison. Well, I'd like to look now at the results of a submissive Christian. Let's jump back and we'll pick up the story here just a little bit later. Hold your place there. But back to Joshua chapter 11. And we'll wrap up Joshua real quick. Joshua chapter 11. We find in verse 15, and I thought this was quite interesting. Verse 15 says, Joshua chapter 11, verse 15, "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." Now, friends, at the beginning of Joshua, Joshua's made the leader. He is placed in control of the people. "Hey, you're the leader, Joshua." But you know what he did? He still observed what Moses told him to do. Why? Because God had told Moses to do it. And so Moses told Joshua, and whatever Joshua obeyed. Why? Because he was submitted. He left nothing undone. Nothing. Zero. Nothing undone of what the Lord commanded Moses. Well, we get down to verse 19. It says, "There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle." And friends, we know the story of how, after great victory, he made peace with these people without consulting the Lord first. And he made a big mess up because the Lord told him to destroy everybody. Well, they destroyed except the Hivites. Well, we get down to verse 23 and it says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. Now, friends, the result is that Joshua conquered what God had given him. He took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And after that, you know what happened? The land rested from war. You see, when a man submissive to Christ, as Joshua was, God blesses. And the name of Christ. Hey, here's these people of Israel. You know what they're doing? They're conquering. Why? Because they're God. Their God's with them. And after, the result is that the land rested from the war. Let's go to the three Hebrew boys. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And verse 19, we won't read, but we all remember the story. How the Bible says the visage of Nebuchadnezzar, he was so upset that his visage was changed. He told him to heat the furnace seven times and throw him in. The men that threw him in died because the heat was so great. Well, then pretty soon we get down to verse 25. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Didn't we throw three in? You know what? The fourth looks like the Son of God. And then he goes down in verse 26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, if you remember in verse 15, he made the question. He put the question to him. Who is able? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? He sure did think pretty highly of himself. But now in verse 26, he calls him. Notice what he calls him. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come thither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of that fire. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amidst the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You see God being glorified there? Why? Because of three young men that say, hey, King, we can't do it. We can't do it. Why? Because we're submitted to our Lord and Savior. We're submitted to our God. And so then what happens? Well, verse 30, it says, and the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Because of their obedience, because of their submission to God, God blessed them. God blessed them. And friends, whoever you pick to look at in the Bible, pick a godly man, a pastor, preacher, a man that has been humble, that's been submitted to God, God's blessed him. You'll find that God elevates. Why? Because God exalts the humble, and he resists the pride, but he exalteth the humble. And so a submissive. Are you a submissive Christian? Now, Acts chapter 16. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. Picking up on the story, we find that after they've been beaten, they've been thrown into prison. We find in verse 25, Acts chapter 16 in verse 25. The Bible says this, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know, to me, sometimes listening to some folks sing, you know, it's kind of discouraging. It's discouraging. Because here we are in church, we're supposed to, not in church, wherever we are. If you're going to sing, you might as well sing worthwhile. And just give it. Give it all you have. If you don't have a good voice, hey, just bell it out. That's the voice God gave you. And make it be heard. Now, but anyway, so here we find that they sang. How did they sing? Well, they sang. The prisoners heard them. And they weren't in the prison. You know, blessed is Jesus is mine. what a fourth day. No, they were bailing it out. Hey, we have a reason to sing. Why? Because God's still on the throne. You know, this didn't catch them by surprise. So they prayed and sang praises unto God. It's amazing to me how many times we go to pieces. You know, if something like this were to happen to us, oh my goodness. You know, we'd be out for many times permanently. Why? Because we were serving God and God didn't treat us as we thought we should be treated. And so it ends right here. But no, they continue. Why? Because they were submitted to God's will. And what happened? Well, we all know the story. How God sent an earthquake, opened the prison, wide open. We get down to verse 27. It says, "And the keeper of the prison awakened out of the sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we all are all here.' Then he came for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know, it got me thinking, I wonder what they were singing. Well, obviously, they'd been in town for a couple of days, so the jailer probably heard what they'd been preaching. But whatever they had, the jailer realized, hey, something I don't have. Sirs, what must I do? What's to be saved? And Paul's answer was this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house." Verse 32 through 34, "And they spake unto him the words, the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes." You see how God takes care of them? You know, God's glorified. God will take care of them. And he goes on and says, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." You know, this guy must have been a Baptist. Here he is bringing out food. Hey, this is pretty good. You know that? You know, they say Baptists can't get together without having some food. But anyway, he set meat before him. God will take care of you as long as you're submitted, obeying, doing his will. It surprises me how many times as parents, you know, we want my desire is that my girls grow up and serve the Lord. I have two little girls. But sometimes parents, their desire is that, but whenever a child comes and says, hey, Dad, you know, perhaps after a mission conference, you know, that missionary to Japan, to China, you know, Lord really used him to speak to my heart. What do you think about that? Now you don't want to be too hasty about this because, you know, why not? I mean, if the Lord called him, why not say, hey, that's great. You know, pray about that and encourage him and encourage him. Remind him once in a while. Hey, listen, if God didn't call him, God will show him as long as they're obedient and you're praying and God will show him what he has for his life. But encourage, hey, there's no greater joy than this, than to know that Paul, actually John, 3 John, "I have no greater joy than this, than to know that my children walk in truth." And friends, if your children are serving God, if they've been called of God, encourage them. Encourage them. If they think about looking back, hey, back such and such a day, you know, you surrendered your life to God. And remind them of that. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Why? Wouldn't it be wonderful? And I would love this, and I'm praying for this. I would love for both of my daughters, and if the Lord would see fit to give us some other kids, you know what I'd love to see them doing? I'd love to see them serving the Lord. I'd love to see them marry preachers, maybe missionaries. And I realize they might not be called to Brazil. Hey, but that's fine. You know why? Because there are a lot of people that are outside of Brazil that need to hear the word of the Lord. But see, if I'm submitted, Lord, these are the kids you've given me. Lord, would you please use them? Be exalted. They're yours. I'm told it's hard. You know, when you see those grandkids walking down, it's hard, but it's worth it. You know, this life, it passes so quickly. My goodness, when I look around, and goodness gracious, the kids. I mean, back when, you know, I'm reminded so often of the bass playing days, you know. kids that were kids back then are married, have kids, and I mean, it goes by so quickly. And yet only those things done for Christ will last in light of eternity. Friend, are you a submissive Christian? First of all, have you submitted in with regards to salvation? Have you submitted? We were had the privilege of going up to a hotel a couple of weeks ago, and Isabel and I went up. It was a beautiful place, but they allow missionaries to come. And for $15 a night, usually rooms go from $150 to $260, but beautiful bed and breakfast place. We were able to go up there, and we spent 2 days. On Wednesday morning, we were leaving. Eating breakfast, there was a couple that sat in the table next to us, and just a beautiful dining room. They serve those five-course meals, you know, those things that you sit down and you kind of sit real straight and you watch everybody else to make sure that you don't mess up. But anyway, we're sitting there for breakfast. Breakfast is a little bit more relaxed, and we pray, thank the Lord for our food. And I don't know if it was that or what, but somehow the couple next to us turned to us and say, "Are y'all missionaries?" And I said, "Yes, sir, we sure are." And they said, "Where are you missionaries to?" I said, "Well, we're missionaries to Brazil." And I believe it was the lady said, "Well, we're missionaries to the Indians, the American Indians up in South Dakota." I said, "Well, that's great. Praise the Lord." And so they asked how long we'd been missionaries and whatnot, and asked them, you know, how long? Well, we've been for 10 years. This was an older couple. They already retired, older couple. And they said this. They said, "You know, we're finally doing, finally fulfilling God's will for our lives." She said, "You know, when we got married, God called us to be missionaries. But we raised our kids, and then we went." Now, I thank the Lord that they're, you know, serving and serving the Lord now, but I can't help but wonder, you know, if they have submitted themselves to God when God called them, why, they might even have a couple kids on the mission field. You know, that wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be bad. Friend, are you submissive to God? Are you submitted, fully submitted? Dr. Bob Kelly once said, "The best thing you can do is agree with God Almighty and say, 'Yes, Lord, I want your will to be done. Your will to be done.'" Can you honestly say that tonight? "Lord, I'm yours." A.W. Tozer, he also once said, "Christians don't lie. They just go to church and sing lies." You know, we don't have a problem sitting here and singing, "All to Jesus I surrender." But then when we live it, do we live it? Can you honestly say, "Lord, I'm yours. My kid, my job, my life." Perhaps you're going through hardness. Perhaps you're going through the fire. If you go through it on your own power, God won't be glorified. But if you go through it through His power, He will be honored. I thank the Lord for the privilege that we've had, and with this we close, of being able to see great saints of God. I think of Brother Davis. Think of Brother Barry. Think of Miss Lewis. You know, we weren't here when Miss Lewis passed away, but every time we heard news of her, "How's Miss Lewis doing?" "Well, she's doing fine. She's praising the Lord." You know, we've had a privilege of seeing these saints go to glory, submitted. "Hey, Lord, if this is your will, you be glorified." And God has been glorified through it. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Friend, are you fully submitted to God? You know, the church is to be submitted to Christ in everything, in everything. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you please, God, I trust that it's made sense. Lord, you placed it upon my heart, and I ask that you'd work in hearts. Lord, starting with our family, Lord, I beg that you'd help us to always be submitted to your will. Lord, we thank you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Are you submitted to the Lord? Are you submitted to the Lord? Are there areas where you need to get some surrender tonight? I want you to come. And we have at least one for baptism. As soon as we start singing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," we want you to come, make ready for baptism. If you're tonight the one you need to be saved, I want you to come get it settled tonight. Christian, you need to make some surrender to God. You come. Let God have His way while we sing on the first verse.
Have